Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There's a new version of the autobiography of Malcolm X coming out this week, and a familiar voice reading this new audiobook, Oscar-nominated actor Lawrence Fishburne. Here's a little bit from the beginning.
When my mother was pregnant with me, she told me later, a party of Ku Klux Klan riders galloped to our home in Omaha, Nebraska one night. Surrounding the house, brandishing their shotguns and rifles, they shouted for my father to come out. My mother went to the front door and opened it. Standing where they could see her pregnant condition, she told them that she was alone with her three small children and that my father was away preaching in Milwaukee.
As told to Alex Haley, the autobiography of Malcolm X was published in October of 1965, 8 months after the civil rights activist and former Nation of Islam spokesperson was assassinated. Lawrence Fishburne joins me now. And Lawrence, what was the process of reading the words of such an iconic figure like Malcolm X?
It's so funny that you should ask that. I've been doing what I do most of my life now. And I think everything in my professional life has prepared me for this, if that makes any sense.
Did you listen to Malcolm X's speeches as part of your preparation, those types of things?
I listened to a little bit of his speeches, not too much, but just enough. I have to say that working with Nicole Shelton, who directed me in this, was really the most valuable asset that I had. The book is 600 plus pages. It's a lot. It's a lot of words, a lot of language. It's a lot of stories and history. And, she has incredible ears. So she was a very active listener. And part of the process was, we'd start in the morning and we'd talk for about 30 minutes, just about Malcolm and his journey and his experiences and his stories and his relationship to Alex and his determination to educate himself, all kinds of things. And then we'd start working.
Yeah, I wondered if you had Alex Haley in mind when you were taping this as well, because of that relationship that he had with Malcolm X as he was writing these words.
Yeah, I did. I mean, he recorded a lot of this in Alex's tiny apartment somewhere in the village. They didn't know each other before. And Malcolm expressed his, slight mistrust of anyone.
He had to gain his trust. Yeah.
They had to really develop that relationship over time. Alex has an afterword that he wrote that unfortunately isn't a part of this recording, but in it, he talks about the idea of gaining Malcolm's trust and about the time that it took for him to relax and the various emotional states that Malcolm would be in when they were involved in these interviews, I guess. So that was also very helpful.
In listening to it, there were scenes that jumped out to me in ways that didn't when you read it on the page. Were there surprises or really maybe the better word is revelations that you had while reading it?
Okay. That tells me I might have done my job well.
Yeah.
What was one of those things that stood out in particular?
Oh, so I'll tell you a little bit. I went to a park and laid out in the grass and listened. And Malcolm talking about himself as a child and growing up in mid-Michigan and Lansing and going to Lansing. And I could visually see those places in Boston and Roxbury. There was just a painting of a picture that I saw. But for you, were there any things that stood out to you that you didn't really see, but now that you were reading these words, came clear for you?
There were several things. Obviously very striking is the way in which Malcolm's father died. The setting of what must have been that that library at that prison that he wound up in. The ballroom in Boston that he used to dance at.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things that kind of jumped out at me on this reading.
Well, let's hear more from the audiobook. This is you as Malcolm X talking about his father's death.
Negroes in Lansing have always whispered that he was attacked and then laid across some tracks for a streetcar to run over him. His body was cut almost in half. He lived 2.5 hours in that condition.
Lawrence, what a time for this to come out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what a time. I have been very encouraged by what I'm seeing in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement and the various corporations and companies that have been calling for change, and the NBA and the WNBA and other athletes, and this, you know, this pending election, the attempts at voter suppression that are going on as we speak. Not that I'm encouraged by that, mind you. I'm just saying.
It's a part of the moment. Absolutely.
It's a part of the moment, and it's one of those things that we have to really, really be, you know, we have to be watchful. You know, these things that have been going on with the post office. We have to be on our game. We have to be on our A game. If the country is going to self-correct, that means all of us have to participate, whether we think it's or not. Excuse my French.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lawrence, I want to touch on your expansive career for a moment. I did a little survey with my people on what movies they remember you most from, and everyone said something different. Apocalypse Now, Boys in the Hood, The Matrix. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even really do your career justice for me to try to lay out your work, but one of the first roles, Earl and Me, where you played Cornbread, a young man who witnessed a police officer shoot and kill a basketball star. And I'm just thinking about the depth of that story in light of the moment that we're in right now and this reckoning with police brutality. Yeah. Do you often think about that, about that connection there?
Well, I have, I mean, lately, of course, because, you know, I just had a piece come out called Free Rayshawn. I don't know if you're aware of it. But it came out on this new platform called Quibi. It's a similar story. It deals with what we're dealing with in this moment. So, you know, this is a story that I've been telling since 1972. Sadly, it continues to need to be told and dramatized. And the hope is that in doing so, we will, you know, illuminate the humanity of everybody that's involved in these kind of incidents and, you know, find the courage to come together and talk and, you know, reason with each other and try and figure out a way to rectify these problems.
You've been working since you were like 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, I was 10 years old. So, yeah, it'll be 50 years next year.
50 years next year. You have such an expansive career and you have so much more ahead, all of these projects and the work that you're doing. Where do you see yourself as you think about the future of your career and what you want for it?
Well, I see myself directing and writing and producing more. Of course, acting is my first love, and I hope to be blessed enough to continue to do that for as long as possible. I've just recently gotten back into a writing practice, so I'm anxious to see what comes out.
What kind of writing? Like fiction, nonfiction?
I'm just writing again. We'll see what comes out. I've been very blessed to be able to do what I do. I found what I love early in life, which makes me doubly blessed. I just hope to continue to do things that, you know, entertain people and educate them as well.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm X was, of course, assassinated in 1965. It's a big question I'm about to ask you, but what do you think he would have thought of this time that we're in and the messages from his autobiography?
I think Malcolm's position would be, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. Obviously, he would have, you know, he would have been much more eloquent than that, and he would have said something much more powerful. But, you know, to distill it down to, you know, the basic reality of where we are, I think he would have been like, this is what I've been talking about. This is what I've been telling people. This is what I've been trying to say, that we live under a system of racial inequality in this country. And it's a trick that has not only been played on Black people, but it's been played on all people. That we should be fearful and mistrustful of each other, and that our differences are somehow more important than our similarities.
Lawrence Fishburne reads the new audiobook version of the autobiography of Malcolm X. Lawrence, thank you so much for this conversation.
You are very welcome.